This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me as always is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are ready to talk some Packers. I'm coming to you live from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field. Corey, what do we have on tap today?
Today, we move past the disappointment of the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs and look ahead to Sunday's showdown with the Seattle Seahawks. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Chris Barnes smoking some fool.
We got the bad. We got
Matt, what the hell was that game plan, LaFleur?
We got the ugly. We got
special teams, because anytime you can cost yourself a game, you got to do it. Banky?
Yikes.
How you doing, buddy?
Yikes. I'm doing good. Let's do it.
Let's do this. Packer
here we go.
We're live.
I'm ready for this.
Although, you know, as we've touched on before, you're not a transplant anymore. You're literally across the street from Mecca.
I mean, Never gets old, buddy.
You're a transplant in the sense of you're across Lombardi Avenue. That's how far you've traveled.
Yep. It's true. True story. You know what? It's a great place. It's a great place to look at. It's a great place to be next to. It's a great place to be associated with. There's nothing bad about it.
You know what?
You know what I'm saying?
It sounds like some hotness going on over there.
I'm ready for the hotness.
Are you ready?
Oh, I'm excited.
You ready for the hotness? Yeah, We're going to get the hotness rolling right away here. Let's do it. Let's get the hotness. Oh yeah. Always good to get some hotness.
The piano comes in.
Ooh, baby.
There's a lot of hotness today.
That's the most hotness we've ever had. I will say though, there was only one play this week. Every week it can be tough about what should be the hotness, but I think we would all agree on this one. You know, let's roll this, Austin, because ladies and gentlemen, Chris Barnes did not come to make friends here. Look at that play. Nope. Oh, my goodness. This is a Green Bay Packers linebacker saying, no, you shall not enter the end zone. Oh, Banky, that's the hotness right there. That's what I'm talking about.
I like it.
That gets you pumped up.
A lot to like about it.
Yes. Yes, there is. You know what? There's a lot to like about that. I don't know about the news, though. You ready to venture into the news, Banky? Because there's a bit of it.
Unfortunately, yes.
All right. Here we go. We got some Packers news. Of course, leading with Rodgers. One Aaron Charles Rodgers could return for the Seahawks game. Might have number 12 back under center. Some medical hurdles he still has to clear per his interview with Pat
McAfee. It's like a doctor hurdle, right?
Well, that's it, right? Physical things. The heart, I think, is a big component here as far as how his body and his heart rate respond to physical exertion, because by all accounts from Aaron himself, he hasn't been doing a ton. He's been, you know, he literally said he watched the game lying down. So I think, you know, he's kind of ramping up to a full workout, and then he'll get going as the week goes on. And then Saturday, obviously, he'll be back inside the building. So we'll see what Doc McKenzie says at that point. And of course, the big news all over the internet today, Banky, Odell Beckham Jr., former Giant and Browns wide receiver, is a free agent. And the news breaking literally just before we went live is that he's going to take a couple days to make his decision. So anyone waiting for some breaking story tonight can just chill, cool your jets, crack open a beer, and watch some Packer transplants, because no Odell Beckham decision happening tonight.
Speaking of beer, I never got one, so I guess I'm going to have to do this
show
without drinking.
I can vamp if you need to go get one.
No.
We can get
I like
the news.
Doing this sober.
Whatever we need to do. Yeah.
Oh, there's news?
Yeah,
I didn't
realize. We got more news. We got Kenny Clark and Kingsley Keke both practicing today, which, of course, is good stuff.
That's exciting.
Keke, I like that. Coming off that concussion from a couple weeks ago. Kenny Clark, we all saw, leave the game early in Kansas City. Both limited, but practicing. That bodes well.
I like it.
Trending in the right direction. Like to see that.
Yes.
Next up, that building across the street from you, sir, doing some dirty deeds because they got fined. The Packers fined for COVID protocol violations. 300,000 big ones. You know what that means. It's time for another stock sale. So they can. It's like the Packers fan equivalent of a GoFundMe to help fund all the Packers' dirty deeds behind closed doors when they're doing bad things when it comes to COVID protocols.
$300,000.
This is ridiculous, obviously. It's a wrist slap for everybody involved. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers and Alan Lazard both got fined as well. I hope they can just kind of put this chapter behind them now. And finally,
here's the thing about this. Okay. Here's the thing about this. And I want to put a lot behind me, but I feel like the NFL should only be allowed to use this money for good. Okay.
Right. Like the fining of players for infractions on the field that all goes into a pool that gets disseminated to different charities selected by the NFLPA. I'd be down for that.
That would be a great idea. That would be a great idea.
I'd be all for
that. But then here's what you would do, right? The teams that get – you basically have regions, right? So you have to donate to charities based on proportion by who gets –
like,
right? It's like
– like a Wisconsin charity or at least a Midwest charity should receive this.
Midwest charity, right? There's a Chicago or Milwaukee or some kind of whatever charity that's like – that $300,000 is not going to pay for Goodell, who's making $26 million this year, right? 20-something
like around there. That feels low, but yeah, he's making –
lots of mil. 67 mil.
That feels
I don't know.
More
lots
correct.
Of mils.
He was making 40.
It's a lot of mils.
Ago, so, yeah,
it's all of the mils.
Many
it's
M's,
all of the mils.
Many M's. And finally, last bit of news. Leaving it on a high note. Didn't want to leave it on a downer. We got David Bakhtiari back in the mix at practice, officially activated to the 53-man roster earlier today.
Gotta love it.
69 is back.
Love it.
Love me some Bakhtiari.
I like it.
He's at practice. Doesn't necessarily mean he's automatic to play on Sunday. Matt LaFleur put that right out there on Monday. So we'll see what happens throughout the week. We'll see how it trends, as they like to say. But he is back. He's on the roster, hopefully starting on Sunday against the Seahawks. You ready to talk some offense there, Benke?
Let's do it.
Some offense.
Do it. I would like to see
offense.
Oh, wait. Are we talking about the Packers?
We have a weekly show with a gentleman named A.J. Dillon.
Yes.
He's a running back for the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, he was ripping off some fine runs there early in that game and then kind of got forgotten about until later in the game when they had to rev him back up. And I just kind of got to wondering, and I got a lot of questions about it on Packers Daily, one of which I actually thought was really good because it's something I hadn't thought of before. So I thought, you know what? When it comes to the running back rotation and how they're used and, you know, which guy's going out there when – I thought I'd pose it to Coach and then follow up with, so what the hell is the plan here, Coach? And I'm not so sure he loved the question, but you can be the judge.
I feel like he didn't. I watched this. I don't think he liked you for this.
Coach, I got a two-parter on your running back tandem here. Do you ever have a check-in with the analytics folks in-game when it comes to how guys are performing? Like, let's say Aaron's getting, you know, whatever after contact, or AJ's doing whatever in the passing game. Is there ever a moment where you're asking the analytics folks in game about performance? And after that, do you feel like you need to do maybe a better job of riding the hot hand? Right now, it seems like you guys are really kind of, you get a guy going and then he's off and then there's a guy back on later. And it just seems kind of like at the whims of, I'm not sure what.
Yeah, no, it's nothing I've ever talked to any analytical people in game. I think it's more of a feel. And, you know, a lot of times going into games, we have a rotation for those guys in terms of how we're going to use them, especially in the first half. In the second half, that's when you can kind of more or less lean on the hot hand or whatever it may be. But I think Ben does a great job of using both of those guys and subbing them in and out. And, you know, I guess I got to do a better job in your eyes.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
I'm just trying to get answers to questions here. You know,
okay, there's two things in Coach's body language, and Coach, just want to say, I love you, so you see, keep doing what you're doing right there. All right, so here's the thing that's funny. There's one thing where he almost does a spit take. Like, I was thinking to myself, like, where he's drinking the water, and it's like, dude, if he did a spit take right there, that would be so gold for the credits. Then the second time, he goes, he does this, like, thing with his mouth. Hold on, he is. Like, it's almost like he's starting the word F. You know what I mean? It's like he's starting. It's like he's doing this to you, Nagler. I could see him be like, then he like thinking about the question. And it's funny, as he's answering the question, he's like reliving your question about the analytics. So he's kind of laughing about it. Like, ha, 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 you thought you could get me with this I don't ask no analytics guys questions during the thing. Which, where did that come from, by the way?
The Daily Chat. Literally, someone had a super chat this morning asking that exact question.
Like, does he go, what are the analytics of Aaron Rodgers right now?
No, I thought it was a good question in the sense of, it's not something I would expect him to do. It's not something like,
what's our DVOA, people?
I did in the moment on Daily, I think I said, like, I don't think so, but that's a really good question. I'd love to ask Coach. And since I'm able to ask Coach questions, why not, right? So he
Daily,
answered as I...
I still can't believe that, by the
he
way.
He answered as
we'll,
I thought.
We'll save that for another day.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah, of course he did. It was a...
But
I mean,
it was kind of what I expected him to answer with, but I thought it was a really good question, and it was something I wasn't 100% sure on, so I thought I'd ask. And
I think it's a good question, but I also think when you think it through, like, it's just funny. Like, it's the second quarter,
right?
And he's like, how many times have we used A.J. Dillon?
And what is his yards after contact? And should I put him in the game now? Yeah. Like, no, I know. I know. That's what I mean. Like, I didn't expect him to go any other way than he did. You know where I did expect him to go, though, is protecting his young fucking quarterback in his first NFL start. And for whatever reason, that didn't seem to be the priority on Sunday. Now, you can talk about the protection problems, which certainly were rampant, but you know how you really protect a young quarterback? You run the football. And this is twofold. Like, the blitzes were there for everybody to see. It was very obvious as the game went on that they were going to blitz the hell out of Jordan Love. And for whatever reason, they never really changed tacks. Matt mentioned it after the game. But, man, when your solution to repeated blitzing is to keep trying to throw to Devontae Adams downfield, you need to be able to – I understand the game plan is a thing that you work on all week, but, man, you got to have a better feel and ability to just tweak things a little bit. I don't think you can ever completely throw out the game plan or anything like that. I think, halftime adjustments, what have you, that gets talked about a lot. I think a lot gets made out of that in the media that isn't kind of real when it comes to the actual game of football in the NFL. However, there's a point where you've got to have a few other tricks in your bag coming into the game, in your game plan. If throwing back shoulder or nine routes to Devontae isn't the answer, very apparently after two or three attempts, maybe it's time to cook some other meal. That's all I'm saying. So, yeah, to me, that was disappointing. Disappointing is the word I would use. The other thing I thought about when I was looking back at that game and kind of rewatching it a few times, it did remind me, and I think we talked about this on the post-game show when I was on with iHeart, they didn't really go to a short passing game. Like, the short-controlled passing game that you and I have loved forever. Like, I get getting your quarterback out of the pocket or moving things or whatever. They kept – and Matt, again, this is something else he mentioned, is the long-developing routes. Well, get to your short game.
Yep.
It just never kind of...
We don't have a short game this year, period. We don't actually have a short game. We basically have some plays have checkdowns in them that sometimes are utilized,
right.
And that's pretty much what we do.
Yeah. So, and it's funny because McVay went through the same thing in L.A. a couple years ago in the Super Bowl with Belichick when, they basically dared them to throw it, and they couldn't because they couldn't hold up front. And the guys couldn't get downfield quick enough. And McVay could never get.
It's so weird too,
game, you know.
It's so weird too because our short game is a series of wide receiver and running back screens.
It could
that
be.
Look
yeah,
like
absolutely.
Really weird. No, we have some of that which we didn't run.
Right.
We didn't run a lot of that. Yeah, we but also like how many slants did we run? You know,
they
like
ran a
even
few
like
and
a few.
They missed
like
on
one or
one.
Two.
Jordan hit Devontae perfect on one, and Devontae got an interference call on another. But, man, I would have just kept going to it over and over. I'd much prefer that than the stuff downfield. But That's all personal opinion, reflection, whatever. Of course. You know, I know they.
That's why I don't talk about play calling, because I don't like to, because, yeah.
I love to. It's all I preference. Do. It's how I work. It's how I roll. Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball, shall we? Take a look at the side of the ball that, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely dominated that game, and it was a real shame that they had to take the L.
They really did.
I mean,
well,
my God.
and the only thing that the defense did not do was take over the game, and that's the only thing they did. They did everything in their power to win that game, except actually just taking it over and winning the game. Which almost happened near the end.
Yep,
and,
I was just going to say
some opportunities.
It was close. They had two almost turnovers, right? And they've been doing a very good job of forcing turnovers this year. They didn't force one in that game. Came close two times, maybe three if you're being picky, but more generous. But, yeah, but you can't fault them. You hold a team to 13 points, that's a game you should win. I don't care who's starting
it's a great,
quarterback.
Yes,
you know what
100%,
I mean? Like, that is a game that it was an absolute shame that they had to lose it. The thing that I was really impressed with, going back and looking at the game, it's not something that I don't think you and I really appreciated while we were watching it live on Watch Party, but, man, to come into that game already down Kiki – you've got Dean Lowry on a pitch count, and then you lose Kenny Clark 20-some snaps into the game. TJ Slayton showed up, man. Now, this kid, he's been playing a little bit more.
We knew he was going to. We knew.
The last couple weeks, you know, but he was thrust into a major role. And it's not like the tape was great across the board. There were plenty of plays where he got washed out, too high with his pads, etc. But, man, he put some really nice stuff on tape. And he did so. You have to think, as you know, probably a guy who wasn't in the mix as much as he actually ended up being during the week when they were practicing. A lot of that was obviously probably they were thinking going to be Kenny's job. But man, TJ showed up. That's promising. That is really great to see.
It's really great.
Just for his development, if nothing else. Yeah, it was great. And Jack Heflin got involved. So he got, I think, about 10 snaps. Trash can full of dirt, got a little run. So, man, that was great to see. A team that has, for the last, year, we've talked about defensive line depth being an issue. Well, that defensive line depth really stepped up against Kansas City. That was encouraging. You know who else showed up, Corey? You know who else showed
Who's
up
that?
In this game? One Chandon Sullivan. You talk about a guy who, again, probably didn't expect to play nearly as much as he did, given that Eric Stokes was lost in pregame warmups. You got to think that affected the rotation in the defensive backfield. And it sucks that the final play, so many Packers fans were getting on him after the game on social media, fucking being idiots. I hate it. But it's like, if you look at that play, he's got good coverage for the most part. It's just allowed to go on forever. You know, they flush Mahomes out of the pocket. Gary is close to getting to the quarterback, but Mahomes makes a great play, and Chandon slips. You know, and I just hate that that's kind of the defining image for some fans, because he played a really good game. Again, probably after not practicing a whole lot with the starters and with the major rotation throughout the week. So I wanted to give him a shout-out, because I thought it was a really good performance. And there were times when he was soloed up on Tyreek freaking Hill, and he held his own. You know, he allowed some things, but you're going to at that position, you know?
Well, and I think the bigger point here is, what is the secret sauce to Barry's defense this year? What is the difference? Like, was it really that, you know, the last 3 years we had the talent and we just didn't know how to put it all together? Or, I mean, it seems to be, like, not to start a narrative or start some kind of thread, but the way that this defense has coalesced around an idea and gotten so good that you literally, as a Packer fan, are having whiplash this season, right? We've spent so long sitting at, like, you know, if we're 15, we're like, oh my God, we're 15, ranked 15th, you know, anywhere from like 15th to like really low in the bottom of the barrel for defense across the board. And you got to say situational football wise for the defense is really good. When you look at individual stats along the defense, as far as a team defense goes, they don't really jump out, but the overall effect of the defense is one of definitely a top five defense, if not a top three defense in the NFL right now. And it's incredible to see that happen after such mediocrity, you know, shit, well, the last eight, nine years. It's incredible.
What's crazy coming off last year or the last couple years is how the defense played so poorly early in the year and then kind of improved as the year went on. You could make the argument that we've seen something similar this season. It's just they got to the good stuff a hell of a lot quicker.
It's accelerated.
You know
what
I mean?
Accelerated.
Like week one shit show, right? Like it was pretty terrible.
Yep. Yep.
Even the first half against the Lions was suspect. But, man, I tell you what, from about week three on, they've been playing at a high level. Now, the 49ers still moved the ball at times in the second half. They turned it on. But they got better much, much quicker than they ever did under Mike Pettine. Like, the fact that they have been playing, you know, high-level championship-caliber defense for the past 3 or 4 weeks, I mean, in October? Into November,
yeah.
We're getting this? We're used to late December, maybe early January.
But you're seeing it in, like, third and one and fourth and one and goal line stops.
That's second.
Those are not the places that the Green Bay Packers defense has made money.
The discipline,
you know what I'm saying?
The discipline on this squad is insane. The stop that they had on the fourth down attempt that the Chiefs had on their second drive, where they stopped him and Savage sniffed out that guy in the flat. He was looking for Kelsey long, had to come down short. Gary's in his face, so he has to take the short one, and Savage is right there along with a couple of his buddies, and they sniffed that out perfectly. How many times, Corey, how many times have we seen plays in that exact situation where there's a dude screaming wide open, and it's like no resistance whatsoever? Of course they're going to go for it on fourth down. This is the easiest defense ever to convert these things against. Like, the discipline on this squad, again, later in the game, holding them out of the end zone. It's happening with such regularity now. I want to savor it all because I don't want to ever take it for granted, because we went so long having a defense where you were just giving up on short yard. Like, if it's fourth and one and they're going for it, in the past, I'm resigned. It's like, all right.
They have it.
What are they calling on first down? Because they're going to get this. But, yeah, this team, the discipline on defense, both in the sense of a scheme, but also just fundamentals. We've talked about it a couple times on this show, and I've talked about it on daily, but, man, the idea that if a guy does catch a football on this secondary, they are done. It is over. You are tackled. You are going to the ground. Yards after catch are not a thing against the Green Bay Packers defense. Does it happen on occasion? Sure, yes. But for the most part, guy gets – catches the ball, he's done. It's over. You're staying right there. And that is the antithesis of everything we've seen in Green Bay over the last decade, not just Mike Pettine.
Yeah.
Decade plus in Green Bay. So just the discipline of this squad is so, so readily apparent and improved. It's nice.
I was waiting for you to say it's all because of the Packers fence, because I'm down for that too, by the way.
Clearly. Oh, we should see. I should have had that ready for a visual. The Packers fence. Get on board
the D-train,
baby. The D-train,
baby. The first
baby.
Time we honored the defense, thanks to Spencer and Zane and Matt.
Yeah, good call on their part.
We honored the D, and that's why we got the D, baby.
I think that's science, right? I think that's there's
it's Kenny
clear,
Clark. Kenny Clark was like, yo, put
right
me on
there,
the fence.
You know?
We listened to Kenny, and Kenny delivered.
No
and
question.
Kenny and the D delivered.
You know, speaking of delivering and needing things and having them and wanting them and receiving them, and there are times in this world, Corey, when, you know, people are trying to take stuff from you and people are trying to, like, get stuff from you, and you have to defend yourself. Well, I'm telling people to make sure they call the law firm of Campbell and Barnes, because these gentlemen are not allowing offenses to do what they wish. In the past, free reign. Come on in. We have no defense for whatever it is you're trying to do on offense. Ladies and gentlemen, call Campbell and Barnes, because they will defend you and make sure that no offense gets what they want. I just love Campbell and Barnes. I don't know why.
We should have had a little song for it.
A little jingle.
Because all the law firms have a little song.
A little jingle, yeah. I'm sure I could have got that to Eric, but I had to get on the train and get to the studio. But Campbell and Barnes, man. That should be the next Cheesehead TV shirt. Campbell and Barnes is here to defend you. All right, should we take a quick look at the Seattle Seahawks? The opponent, Packers are facing on Sunday.
I got some people. I got some Seahawks fans coming to the house, Nagler.
That's unfortunate. You let them in? You allow that?
One guy I was in Blue Man Group with, so right. I had to kind of do it.
Oh, I know. One of my old, really good friends, Pete Tenney, was a producer I worked with at Bleacher Report. He's a huge Seahawks fan, and this is the one week of the year where I will hear from him. Like,
yeah, he's actually the cool thing about this fan. This
yeah.
Him and his buddy are coming from Seattle. Like, they live, I think one of them live in Portland, actually, right. Not Seattle, but one of them lives in Seattle. But then the best thing is, it's so funny because they're like, are we tailgating with, like, cars and trucks and stuff? And I was like, bro, don't you follow me on Instagram? Like, what are you doing?
That ain't that style.
Check out my Instagram.
That's lot
That's
one.
Not how we're rolling.
That's lot one. Send them over to lot
like,
one.
I'll
for
send.
Bit.
Yeah, I am. I'm definitely sending them over to lot one to be like, yeah, there's a bunch of Seahawks fans over there. Yeah. They'll great. Help you out.
That's great. I love it. So, you know, the Packers are getting, most likely, Aaron Rodgers back. The Seahawks are getting a couple guys back, too, in the form of Russell Wilson and Chris Carson, their starting quarterback and starting running back. Obviously, that makes the Seahawks a lot more formidable. We'll see how effective Russell Wilson is. He has not played extremely well in Lambeau Field in the past, although he did kind of help the offense of Seattle storm back a couple playoff games ago. But for the most part, you know, it's the road team that's had a real tough time of it in this Packers-Seahawks matchup the last 4 or 5 years. So they need all the help they can get, and they're going to get Russell Wilson and Chris Carson on Sunday. The Seahawks defense was very, very poor to start the beginning of the year. But I tell you what, they're coming off their bye week, which always helps, of course, rested up. But the last kind of 3 weeks, this defense has been playing better and better. No one's going to confuse them for the Legion of Boom anytime soon, but this is not a pushover, especially not the pushover that the Seahawks were on defense the first part of the year. That first kind of 2 or 3 week stretch, start of the season, whew, baby, it was ugly. And then finally, Bobby Wagner.
I don't know. Wait, Nagler. Yeah. I don't know if you know this.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you know this, but our offense doesn't really do well against bad defenses.
Well, it certainly didn't last week, but they were starting a quarterback for the first time ever in the NFL, his NFL career. So hopefully Aaron Rodgers is back in the mix and that'll go.
Is the Seahawks, is the Saints defense any good? Nah, they're not that good.
They're, I want to say they're middle of the road, better than average.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We do well against really good defenses. That's what our offense is made for. We'll see.
But regardless if it's Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love at quarterback on Sunday, they're going to have to deal with Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner is still a problem. I'm telling you, this guy is all over the field. It's Fred Warner again as far as needing to account for him on every single play. He's not the Superman he once was, but, man, if you do not account for this kid, he is going to wreck your game. You have got to make sure every single play. I'm telling you, he is everywhere. He's sideline to sideline. He's running with tight ends and wide receivers even sometimes down the seam. He is still a force. And I don't like him because he plays for the Seahawks, but as a football fan, I think he's incredible. So he is going to be somebody the Packers got to worry about, you know. And every week I try to point out people they have to worry about. Last week it was Chris Jones, and Chris Jones gave him stuff to worry about without a question, and this week it's Bobby Wagner. So that's the guy to circle in your program. You got anything else for the Seahawks there, Benke?
No, I'm just excited about this weekend. I'm just – like Green Bay is about to be – I honestly think, and I said this on Twitter, I really think this is going to be that first weekend like where it's going to feel the closest it's ever felt to pre-pandemic, you know?
That's a bold statement.
I'm here for it. I'm 100,000,000% here for it. Okay.
I am 100 million% not there for it. I'll be here in my apartment.
I'm sorry, Nate.
It is what it is. FOMO kicking in. It's all good. All right, let's do it. Let's go, Austin. Roll it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey Behnke, the Packer blogosphere is filled, I tell you, with one thing, and one thing only. It is OBJ madness, my friend. Odell Beckham Jr. has completely taken over the internet as far as the Packers are concerned. I just wanted to take a quick spin through some of the best, maybe some of the worst reactions I've seen so far, starting with our buddy over there at the Pat McAfee Show, Ty Schmidt. Love this, buddy. This is it. This is the look you want to be going for. It's time. That's right. It's time for OBJ.
I like it.
Ty knows what's up. We've got the groom here talking about waiting, patiently waiting. It sounds like we're going to have to wait a few more days, patiently waiting. Then we've got Randall Cobb's burner. I didn't know Randall Cobb had a burner account, but he's talking about bringing Aaron's buddy to the Packers. There they are, those gentlemen, looking good. That's obviously a few years ago, but like that look. Let's bring them together. And then not only are fans getting into this, but players too. One Preston Smith, you may have heard of him, talking about, hey, Packers, you heard the news about OBJ? And he had a follow-up tweet today, I think. Preston's all in. And I know Devontae was talking about it today. Like, these guys want it. These guys want it to happen. Then we have our friend Chris Burke. Go way back with Chris. He's been in the mix on the Packer blogosphere forever. He'll go blonde if OBJ becomes a Packer. Well, Chris.
Oh, my goodness.
Get that dye ready, buddy. And then finally, friend of show, Matt Ramage. I mean, really going above and beyond here. Talking about hooking OBJ up with a $50 gift card from Quick Trip. The food never disappoints. Matt Ramage.
I feel like
doing his duty. Doing his 111.
How much Quick Trip?
As Coach would say.
How much mac and cheese can you get from $50?
$50?
Like
a Quick
lot,
Trip?
Right?
Probably a bunch.
That'll get you a lot of mac and cheese.
I would think they could get quite a bit of mac and cheese for $50. Bucks. So there you go. And that, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg, really. There's tons of it out there. People are hype for OBJ, which, of
people
course, you know means that the Packers are not going to sign him. We all know that's what
no
this
way.
Means, right?
I don't see it happening.
I mean, that's how it's going to work. We get up.
Maybe.
And we get down.
Maybe the only time the Packers make moves like this is when they want to distract from something. So it might happen.
So they're going to distract from the COVID fallout? Is that it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. They're like, you know what?
Packers fans
it's
don't
like,
care.
You know what? You know, I know we don't care at all, but I'm just saying that could be like, I just don't see Brian is not thinking that way. He doesn't care. He is looking into the future. If he is doing his job, he is living in 2023, 2024, and 2025.
Well, here's
that's
the thing.
Literally
no, no,
no.
It's
living.
A balance, right? You got to look to the future. There's no doubt about it, but you're also trying to win a championship this year. And I think Odell would help them do that, which is why they have reportedly made an offer. Now, it's for the vet minimum because that's what they can do. You know, they got $4 million worth of cap space.
Yeah, so he's going to take – there's no way he's going to take vet minimum. That's the thing. There's just no way, dude, right?
Maybe. If he's going to get to play with Aaron Rodgers for 8 games, pump up his stats, and then hit free agency in the spring?
But
with a championship
here's the thing,
ring on his finger?
Dare I open this can of
what,
worms?
What, is he
going to
go play with Trevor Siemian in New Orleans?
I just feel like here's the thing. Like, I'm totally with you on like go broke or go home or go broke, right? So I'm you know I'm down to sign those money machines.
Totally.
But I just, you know, I worry about the Martellus Bennett like signings, the ones that are just like they're very toxic and they just end up really bad for us overall.
All right. Let's slide back here. See, you go to Martellus Bennett, which I understand. I get it. But I'm here to tell you.
And I'm not saying he's anything like him at all. It's just that, like, the drama,
there's
right? It's like
stuff.
The drama and there's all the things. There's stuff.
There's
attendant
stuff that comes with him. He's got a very public past in the spotlight, right? It's not even like he's done anything off the field that you would consider untoward or problematic.
Nope.
But he has produced a lot of drama and a lot of narratives. That he has done. Now, the biggest thing you could probably remember is, like, I mean, people have pointed at the kicking net thing and whatever was going on here in New York. Of course, the boat trip with his teammates prior to the playoff game against the Packers back in the day. All of that
boat trip
is so tame. it's such a nothing burger.
It is tame.
In the sense of what his
talent
is.
Well, and you know why it's not? Is because he was so talented and New York just needs that, right? It's like New York media is like, oh, we have someone who's actually
really
good in their sport. Let's 100
Let's
times put
into
every.
The ground.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. That is true.
It's
that
so,
is true.
So true.
But I guess, and apologies for anybody who, I'm not trying to compare the two, obviously, but just
know what you mean.
This idea of that. Yeah. They're nothing alike. They're totally different
individuals.
Like,
you can make the argument that the distraction he became in Cleveland because he was trying to create a distraction so they would either trade him or release him, which clearly worked. He got what he wanted. He's out of there. We saw similar stuff with Randy Moss in Oakland. We saw similar stuff again in Oakland with Charles Woodson. Now, Woodson obviously ended up in Green Bay and had a great, second part of his career and won a championship, won a big-time Defensive Player of the Year award. And his reputation was at an all-time low when he hit the street. Randy Moss was the same thing. He's done, and he's going to be a problem. Don't bring him in. He's a locker room cancer, which is always my favorite phrase, as I said on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the locker room cancer authorities have never been anywhere near a locker room. But
well, that's that, dude. That is so 100% true. Who is writing those words, those phrases?
Exactly.
And
they
don't have a clue.
It's complete nonsense.
It's like outside consultants telling you what your turnover ratio should be, or if you have bad turnover, or it's true if people quit, or whatever. But outside forces
seeing
doing inside
outside,
based
not
on
knowing
exterior
about the internal
things.
Workings.
Yeah,
exactly. The one thing I will say though, it's funny you bring up Brian and what he's doing and how he approaches this or whatever. All I could think of today was Brian. If you are ever presented with the opportunity to speak to Odell Beckham Jr. on the phone, please have a better bedside manner than Ted Thompson, because Randy Moss tells the story of how they were ready to go, and they were like going to make the trade to get Moss. And then Ted talked to Randy on the phone and basically laid down the law that Donald Driver was the number one and you got to be able to fall in line. And Randy
Ted
was like, what? So, we love Ted eternally, but Brian, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, just a little bit better of a bedside manner. If you get the opportunity to pitch the idea, maybe not a, and I think everyone knows Devontae is the number one. It's like, no, there's no secrets here, but.
Yeah, you don't need to tell anybody.
You don't need to lay down the law is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's my only hope, my only dream here. I talking about dreams, actually. I have a dream.
Yes.
I have a dream, Corey. I have a dream of every Packers fan, every single one, whether they're here in New York, there in Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the pond in England, perhaps in Germany, perchance in Russia, Japan, or India. Packers fans worldwide, every single one of them, subscribing to the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. And for that endeavor, we had our good friend Cody put together what I consider a pretty phenomenal ad to let people know who we are, what it is we do. And if you are on YouTube and you haven't subscribed yet, please, 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 please hit subscribe. And if you are on YouTube, you're probably going to see this ad quite a bit coming up here, the stretch run of the season. Let's roll that, Austin, because I love what Cody did here.
Amari Rodgers went north and south and returned. Liked it.
I know. I got very excited.
Oh, hey.
Oh,
it's Matt LaFleur.
Nice to remind people that 250 can move.
Aaron Jones just willed that touchdown.
Biased because friend of the show. Patrick Taylor rooting for him.
Oh, no. He's gone.
Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I love that Matt Mamba ending.
The
Matt
Mamba
ending.
Matt Mamba's the perfect button. It's the perfect button on it. It's so good. But Cody obviously does all of our predictions videos. He cuts all those. He cuts the hype videos. He does phenomenal work. Just wanted to give him a shout out because I thought he really nailed that. You know what, Trey? It starts to encapsulate everything we do here on the Cheesehead TV channel, so to speak. And you know what we do? We talk to folks all around the world, Packers fans. Corey, anything going on there in the old chat?
Yeah, so we got some chats. We got some first one we're going to start out with on Facebook. Mike Walker on Facebook. Wait till my teeth. There we go. Cobb needs to return punts 1,000%.
Correctamundo. Couldn't agree more.
Then we got a super chat from Saul Guillen. Odell, Devontae, Rodgers, and Jones would be a dangerous offense. Thanks for the super chat, Saul. I agree. Luke C, watching from Japan. Speaking of Packer fans worldwide, go Pack, go. John Sturrock, Lancashire, UK. So there you go. You got Japan and UK. There you go. And then you got Michael DeHart on Facebook. Michael, thanks for watching us on Facebook. Go Pack, go with some, you know. Oh, look, the emojis even show up on the graphics. That's pretty cool. Unculture Barbarian with the super chat.
How you doing, buddy?
Even manned by the walking wounded, the defense is fire. When the guys start coming back, this D will be so good, even Brandy won't complain much.
That's so good.
For those of you that don't know, Brandy is one of our awesome moderators and super Patreon user and complains about every defensive coordinator we've ever had in the history of life with the Green Bay Packers. Mark, thanks for the super chat. Campbell is the secret sauce.
No doubt. No question. I will say, I think he's taken his game to another level. Past what he was doing in Arizona and Atlanta, and I do wonder how much of that is due to Joe Barry, who is a former linebackers coach. Obviously, the scheme helps him, but yes, Campbell has really solidified things inside, no doubt.
Somebody said I missed the mustache.
Yeah. Well, you'll get a playoff beard soon.
Wilford Brimley is going to come back
that
to the show.
That freaking ad is great and everything, but it does immortalize the fucking mustache. Good Lord.
Gil, thanks for the super chat. This is the true D train. Last year was the D scooter. Casey Hubbold, my 3-year-old daughter just took a picture of you, gentlemen, and said, I took a picture of the Packers because I thought you would like it.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the mix up there. But, you know, just don't tell her.
You can
just don't tell her.
Just frame it and put Packers under it. And then for the rest of her life, she'll be like, the Packers. Every time we come on, it'll be great. Matt Mamba. Is A.J. Dillon in the Ring of Honor yet? And if not, what's taking so long?
Fantastic question. We'll have to ask A.J. about that on Monday.
Yeah. Tulio Fonseca, thanks for Super Chat. Is it too much to ask for special teams to play better? Go, Pack, go. We didn't talk about special teams. People asking about it, Nagler. I know you get it on daily all the time.
I didn't want to incur the wrath of Corey Banky. I thought this was a special teams-free zone.
A lot of great job, Cody's. Thank you, guys. We got to tell
Cody
to look at
the
chat.
Truth, man.
You got to tell Cody to look at the chat. There's a lot of great job, Cody's, from us playing that. We can talk about. I mean, you know, there was somebody who's like, you guys didn't even talk special teams.
You don't want to. Do you really want to talk special teams? I don't want to talk special teams. They got to play better. Randall Cobb needs to be returning punts. Make the fucking kicks. Done.
Too old for this. Thanks, Super Chat. Just listen to the MLF presser and his response to your question. I guess I've got to do a better job in your eyes. Damn, he took that personal.
I don't think he did. I think he was having fun with it. We're all good. Trust me. That we've had testier exchanges on text than that. That was nothing.
What do we got? DFW Drains at Cheesehead TV. Are you guys finally ready for 80s Packers trivia? It will be presented in Jeopardy style.
Love it.
We should do that, actually. We should do some Jeopardy. Luke C., thanks for the super chat. Carrying the G in Japan. Go Pack,
what's
go.
Up,
another
Luke?
Japan.
How are you
doing,
buddy?
Pretty awesome. Well, Luke was earlier.
Go Pack, go.
Overshadow Sean. Yep. I don't know what
yep.
he's yepping.
I agree, man.
Something we said.
I'm absolutely on board.
I agree with you. Overshadow Sean, I agree with you.
Yep.
Matteo Rubinato representing Italy and carrying the G.
What's
there
up,
you go.
Italy?
Got,
how you doing? Hey, congrats
from...
on the big Euro win this summer. There you go.
And, there's Cody Rocap. Appreciate the love. Follow Cody on Twitter, you guys. He is the man. He's awesome. Yeah, so that's all I got. You know, speaking of fans worldwide, we got something very special for our Patreon members. Right, Nagler?
1,000%
correct.
Pretty
cool, actually.
We got a big Patreon event coming up. Patreon members, you guys know, we talk about it on every week, really, on our happy hour. The Patreon members are the lifeblood of Cheesehead TV. We could not do what we do without you guys. Your support means everything to us. We really appreciate it. And thanks to one of our most diehard Patreon members, Charlene, we are having the first ever Cheesehead TV Patreon meetup on Saturday, December 11th at 5 p.m.
This is really
Central.
Cool.
The first ever Cheesehead TV Patreon meetup at Lambeau Field. Check this out. We'll be in a box at Lambeau, hanging out, having some drinks. This is, again, thanks to the incredible generosity of Charlene Lim, we'll be kicking it in Lambeau's MVP box. There will be a cash bar, but no food, so arrive having eaten, you heathens. But it is going to be a night for the ages. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just make sure you message us on Patreon that you're going to be attending so we make sure we got a proper count. But it is going to be a lot of fun, and we'll talk about it on the happy hour. But just wanted to give Charlene a shout-out, let Patreon members know. If you're watching or listening later, make sure you check out all the information you need, including parking and all that. It's all on the Patreon page. It is going to be a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's pretty amazing.
It's the Saturday before the Bears game. It's going to be a good time.
That's pretty amazing. I just want to do, with my team, I just want to do two more graphics. We got one. This first one, I got Shane Shepik on Facebook. I thought it was pretty funny. Cheesehead TV and Chicken Booyah. It's a pretty good night here.
That's perfect. I love it.
I love that. And then we got the super chat. Thanks, Greg. On YouTube, Greg Somerville, to quote Snacks Harrison on Twitter, who could stop Rodgers, Adams, Jones, and OBJ? Nobody. Love you guys for all you do. Go Pack Go.
Thank you, Greg.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That's perfect. I love it. All right. You got anything else for the fine folks at home there, Banky, before we head off into
evening? I think everybody's excited about the meetup, getting some stuff. But, yeah, I think that meetup's going to be fun, you guys. Everybody says, when you guys do a meetup, and here you go. No better place than Lambeau Field.
Absolutely. Kicking it, having a few drinks, meeting up with people in real life as opposed to Zoom. That's what I'm talking about. It's going to be a good time. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
What do we like to do? Put the best what out there? Come on, Nagler, help me out. Best five, all right? Best five.